This is Ed Mazur, chairman of the City Club of Chicago. Our speaker today was the Honorable Daniel Cronin, chairman of the DuPage County Board. Dan Cronin, after a lengthy career in the Illinois State Legislature, was first elected DuPage County Board Chairman in 2010, re-elected in 2014. He's known for bringing a passion for fiscal accountability and efficient government to DuPage County. He has accomplished significant cost savings without raising property taxes or compromising service. Not an easy task in these days. One of his areas that he concentrates on is reducing the size, scope, and cost of local government. There are over 400 units of local government in DuPage County. 200 are taxing bodies. He has succeeded in consolidating seven of these districts. Dan Cronin has also teamed up with regional leaders to help small and medium businesses capture export opportunities through Metro Chicago Exports. It's a collaboration between DuPage County, the City of Chicago, Kane, Kendall, Lake, McHenry, and Will counties to ensure that businesses continue to prosper while enhancing the region's global perspective. Dan Cronin said 2017-18 has been a tumultuous year for people in the public sector. Those with power feel their grasp is slipping. Those without power feel that their grasp of power is close at hand. He rejects both of those points of view. He says politics today represents a deep sense of division, but government works best when we realize we need each other. Government works best when we have a tug of war rather than one side rampaging over the other. Truth, compromise, Dan Cronin feels, is often found in the middle. This takes will and courage to take these kinds of positions today. He spoke about the opioid crisis, particularly in DuPage County. They have had 95 deaths this year, but he attributes the saving of 175 lives to Narcan and a combined approach to treatment between law enforcement, practitioners, social workers, educators, and community people. The next step in dealing with this crisis, he feels, will be the suing of pharmaceutical companies and medical professionals who he feels make it too easy to obtain opioids. Finally, Dan Cronin said that the delivery of 21st century services that people are demanding often finds government with 19th century tools. We need to emphasize technology and improved human skills and sensitivities to give the citizens what they deserve.
Thank you. Thank you, Ed. That was a very nice, generous introduction. I want to also thank Jay Doherty, one of the hosts here, and all the City Club board members, Tom Donovan, Joe Gomez, Tom Langto. Really appreciate the opportunity to be here today. I'm really gratified to see so many friends here, particularly, of course, members from my team out in DuPage County. We have board members here, Jim Zay, Paul Fickner, former board member, Paul, but you're always a board member, once a board member, always a board member, Brian Krajewski, Grant Eckhoff, Don Pachowski. Let's give them a round of applause, please. Along those same lines, once a board member, always a board member, the executive director of the Illinois Housing Development Authority, Deb Olson, is here with us. Thank you for joining us, Deb. I also wanted to point out we have the next sheriff of DuPage County is here, ladies and gentlemen, Jim Mendrick. We're also joined by a friend of mine. I wanted to just sort of introduce him to you. Dan Persa is here, Heisman Trophy contender and one of the greatest quarterbacks in Northwestern University's history and a commercial developer with CBRE. He's great to have you here, Dan Persa. Where's Dan? Let me see. There he is back in the corner. Very humble guy, a great guy, friend of mine. Been very helpful to me and my son. And a dear friend and a devoted supporter, Tom Robbins, is here. We have a number of other VIPs. I saw Art Berman is here. Art and I served together in Springfield. There he is, the illustrious Senator Art Berman. DuPage County State's Attorney Bob Berlin, the greatest state's attorney in all the land. There he is. Thank you, Bob, for joining me today. Our team of county staff members are here as well, including the best county administrator one could ever possibly have, Tom Kuklage. Tom is a great guy. And, of course, my family team is here. My lovely wife, Julie. There she is, the lovely Julie. And she joins me today with my daughters, my oldest and wisest daughters, Elizabeth and Sarah. So let me, there they are back there. I also know that my friend and counterpart from Winnebago County, City of Rockford, the Winnebago County Chairman, Frank Haney, is here. Frank, thanks for making the trip. And Naperville City Council member Kevin Coyne is sitting right next to our favorite mayor in Naperville, Steve Cherico. Thank you for coming out, Steve. So I just I did mention to you that my daughters are here with me, and I have to say, you know, they've never come to a city club address before, and it makes me kind of nervous. I mean, you know, I want them to think I'm smart, right? And I want them to think I'm articulate and maybe even wise. Maybe they'll think that the old man has something on the ball. But I have to say, I guess the fact that I got out of the General Assembly 8 years ago should prove that I have something on the ball. But in any event, we're here, and it's been a year, right, 2018, and my family's growing up, and it's been a really a tumultuous year, if you think about it, since I was here last. Just last year at this time, Harvey Weinstein ran a movie studio. Matt Lauer hosted the Today Show. Al Franken was a U.S. senator. Roseanne was retired. I don't know. I can't recall, Jack. Did Loyola have a basketball team? Hey, I'm a Loyola grad. I'm saying it. And Stormy Daniels sounded more like the name of a weatherman from Kansas. But in just a year, there's really been important, I would say rather dizzying change. Victims morphed into warriors and took to the streets. People who didn't feel they had a voice made themselves heard, speaking their truth to power. And power, what is the state of the powerful these days? Many of those who have it feel their grasp is slipping, and those who don't feel they are closer than ever to obtaining power. I believe it is in the intersection of those two places where political struggle is born, whether some folks want to admit it or not. The fact is, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, on the national, state, or local stage, office holders face unique challenges, and maybe some newly empowered challengers on the ballot this fall. Our politics represent this deep sense of division. Some see two sides, two immovable forces, with clash and conflict inevitable. But I'm willing to stand up here today and admit something that you probably won't hear from a lot of people. We need each other. This concept is illuminated in a new book about the great musical producer and lyricist Oscar Hammerstein, of all people. There's a particular chapter in that book that several political columnists and talk show hosts have been highlighting. Back in 1958, a young, scrappy reporter named Mike Wallace tried to nail Hammerstein down about his politics. Mr. Hammerstein was very matter-of-fact, admitting that, yes, he was a liberal, and yes, most New York musical theater composers and artists at that time leaned left. But when asked about the writer Ayn Rand, whose libertarian view was expressed in her novel Atlas Shrugged, Hammerstein had incredible insight as to the balance of the political system. He said simply, quote, "We need her, to hold us back, and I think she needs us to pull her forward, unquote. 60 years later, Oscar Hammerstein's words ring true, whether it's back or forward or left or right. Our system works best when this push and pull exercise is exercised. This relationship is exercised. When liberals push conservatives out of their comfort zones a little, and when conservatives pull liberals ever so slightly to the right. The truth, the compromise, the final policy acceptable to most is found in the middle. It's not so easy to get there. It's not so easy to get there these days. Getting to the middle requires political will and courage to get there. An op-ed piece printed in the Chicago Tribune sums up this tension perfectly. The writer said, quote, "The middle is the hardest position to hold. Extremism has the clarity that the middle must struggle to create, since by its nature, the middle must embody a broader spectrum of views," unquote. And in political life, you don't get a lot of headlines for quietly working behind the scenes, reaching consensus. The drive to meet in the middle and pass laws comes not from the individual lawmakers' fire in the bellies, no. In fact, there are plenty of folks who might need a roadmap to find the middle and would never get there if they weren't pushed from either the right or the left. You would think this year, the proximity to the Illinois gubernatorial election, the midterm national elections, and the unrelenting pressure from those vocal and formerly disenfranchised groups may force legislators to get something done. So incumbents have something to hang their hats on, to talk about something that they've accomplished when they go back to the voters. You'd think so. So let's take a look at what that progress might look like from my vantage point. I can start with one issue I think we all agree cries out for bipartisan solutions sooner rather than later: the opioid crisis. I'll tell you how we are impacted. Despite being named the healthiest county in Illinois, last year in DuPage County, 95 people died from heroin, fentanyl, prescription painkillers, or a combination of those drugs. In the meantime, our first-in-the-state Narcan program saved 175 lives in 2017. That's up 20% from the year before. This is part of the story we told Congress when Karen Ayala, our executive director of our health department, testified last month before a congressional subcommittee. In DuPage, our newly formed Heroin Opioid Prevention and Education, or HOPE, task force brings law enforcement, health care, public health, education, treatment, and social service organizations together under one umbrella to fight and to be more effective. On the supply side of this deadly equation, we've joined with other collar counties filing lawsuits against some of the nation's largest pharmaceutical companies over their aggressive and fraudulent marketing of prescription opioid painkillers. We announced those lawsuits together in Wheaton in December, led by Bob Berlin, who's here today, and other counterparts of his throughout the collar county region. And at the time, we pointed out that not only is the incredible loss of life shameful, but the toll heroin and opioid addiction takes on families and on our community systems, including local governments, is staggering, and it must be addressed thoughtfully. Here in our region, Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle, Chicago Mayor Emanuel, and I appealed to the American Medical, Dental, and Pharmacy Associations to reduce the number of prescriptions written for opioid painkillers and to cut the number of pills given. In our joint letter, we said, quote, "The City of Chicago, Cook, and DuPage counties are pursuing all avenues to require our pharmaceutical benefits managers and other insurance and medical service providers to limit opioid prescribing to no more than 7 days for acute pain," unquote. But as city and county governments purchasing health care for our employees, we're a very limited part of the overall supply chain. We called upon physicians, dentists, pharmacists to follow new guidelines, which would reduce the likelihood of dependency for those who must use these drugs on a short-term basis. The opioid issue cries out for bipartisan cooperation and solutions, not just during one session of Congress or the General Assembly, but for years to come. We've already lost too many lives to a problem we can impact if we agree that it's a priority. Now, in case you haven't picked up on it, crossing political boundaries, working from the middle here is sort of a theme with me. I talk about the concept of teamwork a great deal because as a region, we each bring different but essential strengths together to create economic prosperity. Since 2013, the leadership of the seven northeastern Illinois counties and the city of Chicago have been working together to address regional issues which hindered our ability to grow. That partnership has evolved into the Chicago Regional Growth Corporation, which held its inaugural Board of Directors meeting on March 1st through CRGC. The leadership of the region will speak and act with one voice to grow our economy. We will promote the region's diverse assets, many economic strengths, and opportunities for investment. In the last few moments, I've talked quite a bit about cooperation and the essential value of working together across geographic and political boundaries. But I think my presentation here today may fall short if I did not address DuPage County's brand of governance. It wouldn't be a true City Club speech from me unless we include an update on our efforts to reduce the size, scope, and cost of local government. Of course, we could not accomplish any of this without the buy-in and the teamwork of our county board members, legislators, statewide leadership, and local leaders who share our goals. And let's face it, it's not always the most exciting stuff. I mean, really, mosquito abatement districts, street lighting districts, drainage, and, of course, the most glamorous of all, sanitary districts. But that's what we're immersed in. So, oh, my goodness, look at that. Uh-oh, here they come. All of these make up the more than 7,000 units of government in Illinois. But in DuPage County, thanks to powers granted to us by the General Assembly in 2013, we are on the verge of consolidating three more local government units, bringing our total to seven, which I believe is seven more than any other county in the state. And how do we do it? It's quite simple. We identified the problem, we asked the residents which solution they prefer, and as a team, we found the best course forward. This year, we've been working with the Highland Hills Sanitary District, a small district providing water and sewer to 500 homes near Lombard with $400,000 annual budget. We studied this district, discovered they needed more than $1 million worth of repairs to their aging sewer system. And as a result, some residents even had sewage backing up into their kitchen sinks. But for this small system to fix the problem, the residents would have to pay a big rate increase. The county got involved, asked the residents, what would you like us to do? We held a public forum, discussed different methods to update the system. We surveyed the folks, and by a whopping 5-1 margin, residents wanted to hook up to the DuPage County water system, bringing in Lake Michigan water and sewer service from nearby Flag Creek. The transfer to Lake Michigan water is underway right now, and the dissolution of the sanitary district is not far behind, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. It's all about blocking and tackling, right, Tom? Now, these aren't huge victories, but everything helps. Second, we have the North Westmont Fire Protection District. I bet you wondered a lot about that. But it's a fire district on paper only, contracts with the Village of Westmont for fire protection services to 560 unincorporated homes. Westmont residents were subsidizing. North Westmont racked up hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. Again, we asked them, what would you like us to do? Homeowners indicated they wanted to get rid of this fire protection district and receive services through the Village of Westmont. So through negotiation and eventual consolidation, we've eliminated the debt, evened out the costs, and created a sustainable model for fire service. Not glamorous, not sexy, but we got the job done, and we've abolished another unit of government. And finally, we have the DuPage Election Commission. The issues with the commission are well documented, I think, particularly with reporting election results, or I guess not reporting the election results. In fact, on March 20th, primary night, I had my mother and my brother and family over going to watch the election results, and I was off in the other room screaming on the phone. And my mother's like, should we go home now? It was not a fun night for me. But in any event, we're in the midst of consolidating that unit of government into the county clerk's office. There's a bill in Springfield, House Bill 5123, that's been moving along swimmingly, and I'm confident that we will see that passed and on the governor's desk for signature very soon. Remember, that's just 7 local government entities we will eliminate out of more than 400 in DuPage County, 200 of which have taxing authority. It's painstaking work. It's not glamorous, but each dissolution has its own story, requiring many steps. I have to admit, it's hard to see the impact. In fact, at times, I feel a little bit like those guys on the Olympic curling team. You know, I don't know how many guys, you know, when they're young, they say, I want to be on the curling team. I don't know how many people, aspiring athletes, really go down that road. But people ask me, Corona, what the heck are you doing? You know, Salt Creek Sanitary District and Highland Hills. How does this difficult, maybe some might even say odd work pay off? Well, there are plenty of entrenched interests working against this effort who prefer the status quo. But consider that in too many instances, we're trying to deliver 21st century service with government tools from the 19th century. So like a broom to get rid of government in Illinois. I'll tell you firsthand, you'll need a broom and a Roomba. I paid attention and I watched that event during the Olympics. So we're supporting a couple of legislative Roombas this session, if you will. Senate Bill 2544 would streamline the dissolution process of a county-appointed agency. Senate Bill 2543 would make local government agency dissolution even easier, permitting smaller special districts, including those pesky mosquito districts, to voluntarily dissolve. So, yeah, both curling and government consolidation aren't for the faint of heart. But they can also surprise you. Sometimes you win the gold medal. Or, as in DuPage County's case, sometimes reforms net a projected $100 million in savings. Sometimes reforms allow you to cut the county's sales tax by a quarter cent. Sometimes those reforms allow you to keep property tax rates flat for 10 years in a row. We did all this in a year, most recently, when the General Assembly held back $3 million in DuPage taxpayers' revenue, which is usually returned to us to help support our services. So when money's tight, it makes collaboration, consolidation, good old-fashioned teamwork more important than ever. And in case you forget what that looks like, consider the case of a couple of guys and a little nun on the north side of Chicago. If you want to talk about good old-fashioned teamwork. In March, they reminded all of us, they reminded America of the value of teamwork. In basketball, in our community, in politics, they clearly demonstrated what can happen when you lace up your shoes, get in the game, even when the odds are against you, even when everyone seems to be bigger and more powerful. With their Harry Potter scarves and their bracket-busting performance, they taught us you can't count anybody out too early. Sometimes somebody brings a little extra to the team, and that can make a big difference, bigger than you ever dreamed. I'm grateful to my teammates at the county board members, the county-wide elected officials, lawmakers, my fellow folks in the collar counties, my counterparts, my staff. I got a fabulous staff, a fabulous team for helping me move DuPage County forward. And I'm grateful to you for laughing at my jokes and making me look good in front of my daughters and my wife. Thank you for your attention. I'd be happy to take some questions, and I'll give the hard questions to my two children in the back of the room. Once again, thank you very much.
Oh, that was tremendous, wasn't it?
Thank Dan, who's your graphic designer? I didn't know you have all this talent.
Evan and Joan.
Wow.
Joan and Evan, thank you.
Tremendous. Just tremendous. Okay, if we have any questions, this is the time to address them. Our staff is here to pick up any. Oh, I see a few right over here.
Business card.
Okay. And by the way, there's one over here, Latrice. You could just pass that up, sir. We'll get it. Thank you. Okay, and where are the those four daughters again, the Cronin kids?
Two daughters.
Thanks for coming. How'd your dad do? Pretty darn good, huh? Ha-ha. This is a good question. It's probably from one of your colleagues, Jim Zay, with the DuPage County Board. Jim indicates he's not a member of the City Club. Well, yet. We want you to join the City Club. We want everybody in this room who's not a member so that we can continue to bring in people like Dan Cronin, Tom Brady, Tom Cross, Dan Proft, and others to speak to the group. So here's the question. Mr. Chairman, what is your reaction to the Supreme Court decision on sports betting? Since your kids are athletes.
I'm sort of an old school guy. I read that opinion and I've listened to a lot of the commentary and read about it, and I don't like it. I don't like it. I just think it's hard enough to be a competitor at high level in amateur sports without, I mean, there's enough temptation as it is, and somewhere along the line, there's some offensive coordinator that's going to have a brother-in-law that has a bet on. I mean, it's just, I just think you open up a lot of problems, and I think life is complicated enough in amateur sports with all the pressures with money. So I don't like it. I wish Illinois would consider. I think it's highly unlikely they would, but because they're so desperate for cash, they're willing to sell their soul, but I'd love to see the state of Illinois step up and pass a law that they're going to protect amateur athletes in the state of Illinois. That'd be something nice that they could do that I think would resonate with a lot of folks. But yeah, I mean, there was a big scandal in the soccer community, right, in European soccer, and so yeah, I'm against it, but I'm an old school guy.
Okay, fine. When your brothers come over and, you know, your mom's sitting there and she says, I'll bet you this guy's going to get a hit for $2. You will not participate. Okay. This is from City Club member George Vukulich, who's with Millhouse Engineering and Construction. Dan, you speak of compromise. How can we get our state representatives and senators to work across party lines for the good of all of us?
Well, I think that's a good question, and that's, we've seen the struggle going on in Springfield, and I think first of all you got to have a two-party system. You got to have influence, and we've seen a Republican governor and a Democratic legislature. Unfortunately, it seems that there has been these intractable positions. I think we have to take a step back and you know, think about the greater good of the whole. You know, at least at the state level, things are pretty dire here. I guess people watching, holding the legislators accountable, folks who really don't ever participate in bipartisan legislative efforts, who are on the sidelines and are always critics. You know, maybe those folks, you know, maybe they don't belong in the legislature. It's supposed to be a body where it's give and take, where you find common ground. It's not a place, you know, to give speeches and seek perfection. So, yeah, it's not easy. It's easier to stand up here and talk about than it is to actually do. But I think finding the right candidates who are willing to work together and find common ground, I think that's part of the solution. And there's a lot of related issues. Why do we have, redistricting. I mean, we get people that represent extremes because we don't have swing districts anymore. I remember when I ran, you know, I had a robust Democratic population in the eastern end, you know, Proviso Township and Leiden Township and Oak Park. And, you know, I mean, you had to kind of make sure that you found, I'm not saying I'm so virtuous, I'm just saying I think that the mapping has contributed to that polarization as well.
So years ago when someone who became governor of this state pushed the cutback amendment, and now I understand is circulating petitions for term limits. Would you say that those reacted against compromise and effective government and crossing party lines?
I think you're referring to a Fenwick friar that I know.
I think maybe he went to Holy Cross, but he took classes at Fenwick.
Term limits, I mean, again, it's a popular concept. You know, nobody wants to say they're against term limits, although I was down in Springfield for 20 years, and I'm in this job seeking my third term. So, you know, I guess it depends on the individual. I mean, Henry Hyde used to talk about it, you know. I mean, there's a term limit every time you're up for election. You know, that's when the voters decide whether or not you're worthy of continuing to serve. I know that they'll talk about incumbent advantages and so on and so forth, but I think it depends on an educated voter and a community that really tries to find folks and values people that find compromise and move the ball down the field. So, yeah, so I don't know if that answers it directly, but kind of, sort of.
Okay. Thank you. This is from Dinkar. I'm going to butcher your last name. I apologize. Karyu Muri. I think maybe I came close. He's with Sentry Technologies. Here's the question. How are you utilizing technology to consolidate costs while you consolidate government?
What's the name of this company? We got to get this company out to the county. They probably got some really good ideas. We you know, of course, the promise of technology is always great. We did a ERP and we revamped a lot of our technology at the county. We're always seeking new ways to try to find efficiencies. You know, you got to train the folks that are working with the technology and integrate it. You know, I think the election commission alone, I mean, elections, I mean, this is, I think this makes perfect sense to consolidate in the county clerk's office. I don't think it's going to be that far off in time where people are going to be voting on their smartphones, right? I mean, the idea of going to a polling place and pulling out the binder books and all of that, I know that it's important to verify authenticity and honesty and things like that, but I think eventually technology is going to handle a lot of these things. So, but you got to be careful. You know, the promise of technology is sometimes I've experienced is much greater than what the delivery is, but sometimes you got to figure out how to measure it. But no, technology is great, and we'd love to talk to you sometime about maybe you can help us. Sir, Dinkar.
Right. Okay, so that's why you join the City Club. It's a great opportunity to network. Just ask Dinkar. Just ask Chairman Cronin. Okay, this is from Joe Gomez, the Illinois Highway Authority. Does reducing the size of local government include eliminating townships?
Yeah, that always comes up every year. People, the townships kind of sticks in the craw of a lot of folks. And my safe answer is that I have a lot on my plate at the county, and I'm focused on what I do there. But I know there are folks that are interested in evaluating whether or not this level of government is necessary. And, of course, I am sympathetic to their concerns and their examination of it. I commend folks like Dan Biss sponsored a bill that consolidated Evanston Township into the city of Evanston and these coterminous townships. I mean, look, nobody wants to offend people who are in some level of government and that puts bread on their table. Believe me, I've been in hallways with folks that they get very emotional, very emotional. You know, their face is red. They got veins popping out of their neck. They're giving me one of these in the hallway, and I understand that. But at the same time, if you're somebody who is devoted to the principle of less government, if you're the a person who belongs to a party that talks about, you know, lower taxes and less government regulation, then I think you have to be honest with the voters and with yourself and say, let's take a look at it. How do we justify our existence? Is there a better way to do it? Could we consolidate townships in some cases with cities and municipalities? Are there some functions in townships that counties could handle? So, yeah, it's really patently clear that that's what needs to be examined and addressed. But we had an example out in Naperville Township. Remember that, Steve? You know, we had a slate of candidates were running on the platform that they were going to abolish the township highway department. Yeah, you'd think that people would, in DuPage County, you'd think, right, Brian, that there would be, you know, there'd be a no-brainer that they'd vote and they'd be overwhelmingly swept into office to do this. Well, they lost. They lost. So, you know, people don't always pay attention. They need to read the Tribune more, you know, so.
Absolutely. Whether you read it in print or you read it digitally, you definitely need to read the Tribune. Okay. Dan, I just read in the paper where the Illinois Republican Party, we'd appreciate your insight on this, County Commissioner Tim Schneider, appointed head of the Republican Party, but at the same time, I just read this morning, there's like a co-head, someone from, I think it was Lake County, representing a more conservative wing than Schneider and the rest of the party may represent. Could you offer us any insights on that and what that might portend for elections this November?
Yeah, thanks, Ed. Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, experiencing the election cycle, and if you're a Republican or you're just watching what's happening in the Republican Party here in Illinois, it's very, very divided. I think things are better today than they were on Election Day on March 20th. So I'm pleased. I was pleased to see that the two groups, you know, have come together and they're sharing power. There's a chairman and a co-chairman. And look at the folks that represent a more conservative view. I mean, hell, I share some of those views, but I think they're not new. It's not new to the whole discussion. But I think we have to be tolerant, both conservatives of people that are more moderate and moderates who are more or conservatives who are and conservatives are more conservative than moderates, and moderates are more moderate than conservatives, whatever the hell that means. But we have to be more tolerant of each other, and yet at the same time be strategic enough and thoughtful enough that we're willing to put some of our differences aside to find that common ground and work together to support the nominee, whoever that may be. So, yeah, these are tough times, but it's nothing new. We went through this in the past. And I'm optimistic. I'm pleased that the leaders of the two different factions have come together. And if the governor has a shot, and a good shot that I think he does, because he's got a very compelling message, it's imperative that the Republican Party, the base, the conservatives come together this November.
Wonderful. And, of course, we at the City Club like to say that this is a great avenue for the different philosophies, whatever party, to come together, because we're a nonpartisan group in the City Club. And we invite everybody and we give everybody a fair opportunity to make their views known. So make sure you keep coming back to the City Club.